B-Pod Studios.
Here are Zoak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say.
Why's this back?
You know I like my girls a little bit.
Phil, we need it today, don't you?
I just want to use your love.
You need it today.
You need
a shot in the arm.
I know.
Today.
Let's go. Give me some. Need some coffee.
I'm a shot in the arm. I mean an IV.
Dehydrated. Oh, yeah.
Very hydrated now.
617-779-0985. It is the noontime hour on a Friday. It is a Finish Strong Friday. With 128 plumbing, heating, cooling, and electric, and drains. Their sewer maintenance program permanently fixes your drains with a one-time drain fix that removes the roots, gets rid of any clogs, seals your pipes permanently.
Man, roots with like the tree roots?
Yeah, tree root. It seals the pipes permanently and affordably. Visit call128.com. I'm laughing when it says seals your pipes permanently and affordably. Anyway.
Wow, it's not affordable. It's got to be affordable. Come on.
Don't
they give the certificate too?
Yeah, sewer certificate. Yeah, of course. Kidding me?
It's nice.
What's fun? I don't understand.
You can hang
funny.
It next to the wall sign.
No, nothing. Nothing. It's not nothing. Nothing at all. Anyway, your calls at 617-779-0985. Josh is in Fall River. Hey, Josh.
Hey, bud.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I just got a question for you. With the players that are potentially available around 21, if you had your pick between a guy like Devin Lloyd, Jordan Davis, Chris Olave, Jamison Williams, or an Andrew Booth Jr., which way would you go knowing the Patriots' needs?
Well, the only ones I know are Williams and Olave, and I don't think they're going to take
a receiver. I was
going
to say, what's the last one, Booth?
Yeah, I think it's linebacker.
I don't know much about him.
Yeah.
Admittedly.
They got to go defense. They got to go defense first round. I mean, you throw receivers' names out there, I just don't see him drafting a receiver in the first round, especially at 21. They're going to trade back. They're going to trade back. Get ready for it. That's my prediction. They're trading out of the first round. They're going to get two second-round picks. Well, let's go.
You're hearing that, or are you just predicting
that? I'm not hearing that. What the hell do I know? Like, you know, the draft evolves and stuff happens. Your guy might be off the board, and then all of a sudden, you know what? That's the guy we wanted. Went three picks earlier. So let's trade out. More value back in that second round. It's supposed to be a deep draft in the second round. I'm expecting them to trade out.
Such a downer.
I mean, unless you got one of those studs, like say the kid from Georgia slips, a defensive end, you know, the nose tackles. I don't know. I mean, maybe they take a corner. Maybe they take a pass rusher, an edge guy. Not that you need one, but you know, somebody's going to be sitting there on defense. I'd love for them to go defense. You know, with that first pick, because Bill always nails that first round pick. He does defensively. And the Kill Harry one, not so much. You did win Super Bowls, though. I mean, you did win
but
a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they've also nailed the linemen for the most part, too, offensively.
God, yeah. Yep.
Which has been my case.
Would Mankins go 30?
I think Mankins. Yeah, he wasn't high.
McCourty was in there, too, yeah.
And I just feel like they haven't had a... Even with Isaiah Wynn, I mean, he's a player.
He can play in this league.
Yeah, I don't think that he's a bust by any stretch, right?
No.
He's a player. He's a tackle in the NFL. Now, where he grades out among tackles in the NFL, different conversation.
Right.
But they did not miss on the pick.
I mean, he could potentially be playing out of position, too. Like, if they kick him inside.
Well, he's small. He's not huge.
Yeah. Like I said, I want a 6'7", 6'6", type guy on the backside. You need that length. You need that arm reach. That's how you keep defenders off your quarterback on the backside.
Isaiah Wynn was the last first-round offensive lineman that they took. Prior to that, you mentioned some of these other guys. I mean, there were guys, and Joe Tooney was a third-round pick.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's recognizing some talent there. It had been a while since they had done that, though. Nate Solder was the one prior to that in 2011.
Yeah. I think 18th pick overall.
And
Vollmer was a second-rounder. Yeah.
True. Logan Mankins was 32nd overall, as you said.
I thought he was 30.
He was 32nd. Yeah. So he was in the first round. prior to that, I don't think there were any others. So there are three offensive linemen that they took in the first round. Mankins, Solder, and Isaiah Wynn.
One, two, three. I mean, in that order.
Two of them are very good. One of them is okay and is fine. But I don't know that I'd be excited about the fifth-year option being picked up that he's going to make this coming year.
But both those other guys got paid.
But when they target offensive linemen high in the draft, they're good at figuring out which ones are the good ones to take.
I agree.
Although in Bill's first year, didn't he take Adrian Clem early?
I think Clem was a second rounder. Second or third.
I remember him going high in that draft.
Yeah, I don't think it was a first rounder. I think it was a second or third rounder.
Second round pick, 46th overall.
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean,
big guy.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a big guy. Yeah, he was like 6'5".
6'3", it says here that I'm looking at. Yeah.
So you see him, like Isaiah Wynn.
He was stout,
like six
though. You know what I mean? Adrian Clem was like stout.
He looked like a lineman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think that they could use players at a lot of different positions. If it's a linebacker, they could use one. If it's an offensive lineman, they could use one. If it's a corner, they could use that. Yeah. If it's a safety, they could find a way to make that work, no problem. There are so many positions where they could take a player and you say, oh, they're filling a need. They're filling a need there.
Yeah.
And you could even say it about wide receiver, but that's the part that I just want them to avoid.
And that's a scary thing, too. say Jameson Williams slips, and he's sitting there at 21. I don't think they have the luxury to take a chance on that type of guy, get him healthy, develop him more of a long-range type project. Not that he's a project, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you got to wait on that guy. They need immediate impact right away. So take one of those other positions.
But little draft talk. We're going to have plenty of that between now and the spring when the Patriots actually go to the board and start taking guys off of it. They've done all their work. In fact, I saw another report related to the Patriots' work on wide receivers.
Mm.
Yeah. Expectations for next year and Bill Belichick burning up the phone lines and scouting receivers. Another report that sort of seconds what we had heard earlier in the week. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30 minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The problem is, Tom, is that you need all of those other people to fail for you to rise. Like, that's where the Patriots are.
And I think the Patriots are between 8 and 18 in the NFL. All 32 teams, and that's going to fluctuate.
That's actually a pretty wide.
It is, but that's kind of what they did last year. I mean, I would say that they were fourth or fifth when they got to the number one seed and were 9-4. But by the end of the year, 10-7 team, they were probably closer to 15 or 16 in a league that fielded, 14, whatever.
What are they closer to? Are they closer to the team that we saw that won, was it seven games in the middle of the season, mm-hmm. right? Seven games in the middle of the season? Or are they closer to the team that looked like a little lost, dazed, and confused at the end of the year?
I think they're somewhere in the middle, to be fair. I think you're looking at a team that's probably like 9-8 next season. I think 9-8 is probably an appropriate record for them. Without even looking at the schedule and going win, loss, win, loss. I think that you could probably take a small step back next year, record-wise, while still hoping for a step forward for Mac Jones.
I think you've got to improve. You've got to show improvement. And so, to me, it would be just if it was a 9-win season, that'd be a disappointment. And I understand they're losing pieces. They've lost coaches. But you've got to progress. 2020 was the bottoming out. Last year is now. To me, that's the baseline. Mm-hmm. You should be working off of that.
Phil Perry and company arguing on NBC Sports Boston, our Bell Early Edition with Trenny. Weeknight, 6 p.m. on NBC Sports Boston. Talking about expectations for next year, if you want to do the win-loss, win-loss thing. Win-loss, win-loss. Are they 10-7?
Well, I do think the schedule's tougher, obviously, than
it's
last year.
It's without a doubt tougher.
It's way tougher. I think your road trips
are tough.
Did
they have an easy schedule last year? We should start with that.
I think they kind of did.
They kind of did.
It wasn't an easy schedule. You know what? They played easy quarterbacks, if you want to term it that way, in the middle of the schedule.
And they got good bounces in the middle of the year there with the injuries.
Seriously, like you housed the Jets. What'd you do? You hung 54 on them. You had Sam Darnold. I think you got the Chargers at the right time. You know, they sort of, you know, slipped and went downhill right there. But I'm with Phil Perry. I don't think 9-8 is good enough. Like if you go 9-8,
you're out.
You're obviously out of the not obviously, but I think you're out of the playoffs.
Out.
I think you're out of the mix.
Out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Out of the playoffs, and you start questioning where this team is going, direction of the franchise. We always are talking about how much longer Bill's doing this, right? I mean, that's a topic of conversation right now.
Right.
Where does that go in a year from now if they're 9-8 and not in the playoffs?
Well, say you're the same. Start there. Like, say you're 10-7.
Well, that's why I think it's bare minimum.
Yeah, I think you go 10-7 against a more difficult schedule, or, I mean, what are you? You're really, realistically, a wild card team. And can you get out of that round? I'm with Phil here. I think, you know, 9-8 is not good enough. I think you need to win 10 or 11 games. Obviously, you want them to win 11, but I could take 10-7 against a more difficult schedule if you get into playoffs.
What if you don't?
Then I think it's a step back.
10-7, they don't make the playoffs, but Mac lights it up. And the defense is the problem.
Oh. That's a step forward in my mind.
Yeah, if Mac lights it up.
And you're 10-7, right?
All right, so you're saying 10-7, Mac lights it up, defense is Swiss cheese, and they are either out of the playoffs or in the playoffs and they get smoked again.
Right.
Right? We can give either one of those scenarios, but they're still 10-7. I still will say it's a step forward.
Because of the quarterback.
Yep.
Yep.
That matters. You can fix all the other stuff. You can't fix a quarterback who sucks. And that's overstating it. I'm just saying in general. I'm not talking about Matt Jones. He does not suck. I'm saying that you can't fix a quarterback who doesn't rise to being elite. You can't fix it if Mac Jones right now is what he will always be. That's a problem. You need Mac Jones to get better. And I think he will. I'm not one of these anti-Mac Jones guys.
Right.
I'm just open to the idea that, okay, you got to watch it. We all do. Fans. This is why you watch the team. This is why you have a team to root for.
So what's he going to have, like less work ethic? No. I think his work ethic is really damn good, and I think he's going to press it this offseason.
He does enjoy his time off, though, in the offseason. He has talked about needing to take a step back.
I don't think he's had time off.
A little too much ice cream.
Too much ice cream.
Yeah. No, but you're right, though. Like, you've always said this, too. They got to put people around him to decide, is he the guy? You got to find out, like, in 2 years, is he our guy?
Right, which is why T-Bone brings this up, though. I think it's a great point. What if they don't fix their defense? They leave it as is, but they go get that wide receiver that he needs.
Yeah.
And they, with that record, prove that offensively they're improved, but the record doesn't get any better. And their defense still sucks.
They lose 47-37 instead of 47-7.
Isn't that better? Isn't that improvement? Are you going in the right direction at that point?
Yeah, I mean, but just basically.
And then next offseason, you fix your defense. Because now you know you got a quarterback.
See, that's hard to swallow, though. 17-game season, and your defense didn't improve. With a defensive-minded head coach, his son's on a defensive side calling the plays.
Well,
plus, Gerard Mayo's there. I mean,
they might get players that are not A-list day one free agents.
Right.
They might still help their defense. I don't think they're going to leave them without players. I don't think they're starting 9 on defense every Sunday. Like, they'll figure it out.
Hopefully. Yeah, get ready for a lot of zone. They're going to play. They're going to be a big zone team this
year.
You
say, don't be good, just be good enough. That's what you say about the defense. If Mac Jones is going to be improved.
Yeah.
And, well, we'll see how that plays out. Evan Lazar, by the way, CLNS Media, says that he sort of backs up what others have reported. Multiple league sources tell him that the Patriots are seriously seeking upgrades at wide receiver on the veteran market in an effort to acquire a true number one weapon and could then look to move Nelson Agholor if the right opportunity presents itself. Sources also indicate the Patriots have made calls on wide receivers at lower levels of the market as well. New England would create nearly $10 million in cap space by trading Aguilar, who doesn't have much trade value but could still be moved for a small return. I'd give him away if someone wants him, and you can
if you get that $14 million off the books, and I know you're going to have to pay some of it, but I mean, this is like revamping things right away after year one. Like, you really missed on this guy. Like, I do like Bourne.
Well, wait a minute, though. I don't think they really missed on him. He's not terrible. He just is not.
Hardy, you think they missed on
him? He's not worth the money. No, the contract is what they missed on. They didn't miss on the player. Don't make him out to be someone who stinks. He doesn't stink. He's just not elite. Right?
You know what he's.
He belongs. Yeah. And listen, if you had a true number one and you could also work Nelson Aguilar in onto your team, would do it.
You know what he is?
We said all year long, a lot of twos.
He's like a Dante Stallworth type.
Yeah, fair comp.
He's gonna.
Dante Stallworth wasn't getting $14 million a year.
No, but all he did was run clear out routes and double moves, right? Really didn't push it downfield to him. It just feels like that's what you have in Aguilar. Every once in a while, you'll take a shot with him, but other than that, he's not an impact guy.
But I think playoffs or no playoffs, 10 wins is a must.
Yeah, I don't know how you go back to 9. You got to be better in your division.
It's
you
a march to 10 wins.
You know what it is, too? You can't get your ass swept by Miami. Yeah, really, you got to sweep Miami. You got to fix that. You got to sweep the Jets, sweep Miami, and then maybe you're talking. See what happens with Buffalo. You'll cross your fingers, hope you split with Buffalo. But the Jets should not beat you. And you got to get back to beating the Dolphins, especially with a new coach, that quarterback. Even though that quarterback beat you twice last year.
That goober coach.
Oh, my God.
Belichick's not losing to him.
You say that.
Freddie's in Bill Ricka on this. Hi, Freddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Freddie?
So I wanted to get my opinion on how the Pats going to do this year. I think they're going to not super shock everybody, but I think they're going to shock people more than you think. The reason is because I think Bill's going to take more of the over on the offense. I think he's been in the business long enough to know how all that works. I don't think he's going to take full reins, but I think with his, if he could stack up a little bit more on the defense and focus his more on the offense, I think they'll go 11-6 this year and make it at least to the first round. And Mac Jones lights it up. That's how I feel.
And that's good. That's a good result in your mind.
11-6.
I'll be happy with that. And you know what? Yeah. It takes time. When Tom Brady first came into the league, it was actually a lot of the defense that helped win a lot of the games. When Brady first got him into, and then the defense was so good, he was able to build himself and make himself better into the quarterback. You know that he is today, or when he retired. So,
No, we know.
I mean, obviously, Bill's going to help out on offense, but I just don't see him splitting himself in half and then burying his head in a play sheet, in between series without helping coach the defense, without, helping oversee everything. Bill's an overseer. He has a ton of control, but I just don't see him calling plays. I don't see it happening. If you're bringing your buddies back and they were two former head coaches, they got to be able to contribute somehow on offense and in a good way. They ran a room. They did. It may have not worked out. Didn't work out with the Giants. Obviously, didn't work out with Detroit. But, those guys were in control. And now you're going to bring them back, but you're going to call the plays? I just don't see it happen.
Hey, Zo, what do you think Louth is doing in New York today, waiting for that Providence game?
Probably having an authentic slice of New York pizza.
Hopefully,
Sbarro.
He's at Cat's Deli.
There's a Sbarro right across the street from MSG. Hopefully, he can hit it up on the way to the game.
They have an Arby's there in New York?
They definitely do, yeah.
I'd find an Arby's.
You know, I think every chain in America has at least one location in Manhattan.
They should.
Have to.
I bet you there's nothing that Manhattan lacks.
Well, Loth was eating a tomahawk last night, he said. Texted me. Tomahawk.
Where'd
steak.
He go? Where'd he go for that?
I don't know. Some fancy steak joint. Hey, you're not going to Applebee's to get a tomahawk.
Well, he's corporate now. He's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's
sharing a room with 6 guys.
I'm so curious to know that situation.
One bed.
How many guys are staying in each hotel room?
I'd sleep in a bathtub.
It's a long day. Long day when the game isn't until 6:30 now.
Yeah, a lot of drinking. Oof.
That's a lot of puking. That's a lot of drinking before that game begins tonight.
Busted eye vessels, blood vessels in his eyes.
All right, 617-779-0985. Your calls, phone lines wide open. Grab them. We'll talk to you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hardy, a lot of good responses for your pickle.
Excuse me. I think that would be really weird.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Early game. What do we got? SEC early today.
Yep.
In the madness of March. Texas A&M against Auburn. Number one Auburn in that conference.
Who the hell was that that beat him earlier in the year? It was Arkansas, right? They stormed the court?
Yeah.
I think it was Arkansas. Kid had a massive dunk at the end. Do you think Louth wears the same thing he wore yesterday?
No.
Because, well, he's superstitious. You know that. Probably has a PC, hooded sweatshirt, his jeans, and work boots. I bet he wears the same thing again.
Auburn lost to Florida. I was trying to think of who they lost to last month. I just pulled up their schedule. They lost to Florida.
I guess one was Arkansas.
No, they did. Maybe they did. Okay. I'll look back. Yeah. I mean, they have four losses on the year.
Yeah.
But they're losing right now. Losing now in this game. It's first half. But
yeah, down nine.
They're losing. Make that eight.
Eight.
Keeping an eye on all these games. It's so, you know, this is what I do think is great about the product of college basketball. You cannot watch any of it all year long if you choose not to.
Right.
And jump in March and love every second of it.
I know nothing about
that. And not really. You know what I mean?
I used to watch Duke and Carolina. Like every time they played, I would appointment viewing, would sit there and watch it. Like I just haven't sat down and watched college basketball. Haven't done it.
Then you fill out a bracket and you're like, why am I so bad at this?
Yeah, why? And the brackets are a lot of times dumb luck. Yeah, but you could jump right in.
Yeah, then you get a good name on Illinois, and then you become a fan of that team.
My Minutemen won last night in the A-10s. Thank you very much. They're 3-0 since they fired their coach. By the way, the coach is still coaching them.
Which is odd.
He got fired, but he's coaching out the end of the season. They haven't lost a game yet with him.
What if he goes on a run?
They should have fired him sooner. They should have fired him in, like, January and been like, yeah, but you're staying on for around. The end of the year.
Stick around.
Doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah.
This newfound spark that they have?
You did say yesterday, you said they should win. They should win that game.
And then I said, let me rephrase. They could win. They've had some bad games against GW that finally came to an end last night. Thank you very much. But I like the move of firing the coach, and then all of a sudden he has this just newfound spark or zero bleeps given attitude. Like, I compare it to Peter in Office Space, you know, kicking down the cubicle.
Yeah.
Wall.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Going fishing. You're going to bring the fish in. Yeah.
Yeah. When he goes in and says to the guys.
The two Bobs.
He says to the two Bobs, he says, it's, what does he say? He goes, it's not that I'm lazy. It's just that I don't care.
Right. I like your honesty.
Hardy, is that his line? Hardy remembers every line. Is that his line? I think Peter says, it's not that I'm lazy. It's just that I don't care. And they're like, that's so great. That's awesome. The Bobs loved him.
Yeah, if Inatech ships another 100 units, what do I get? You know how many different bosses I have?
Michael Bolton.
It's all about the fractions of a penny. Ryan's in Malden. Hey, Ryan.
Ryan.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
If I was the Pats, man, come on, you're killing me, man. Ryan. If I was the Patriots, I'm...
Ryan!
Sand eater.
If I was the Patriots, I would definitely go after Cole Beasley, man. He's a slot receiver. He's got speed. He's got good arms. Yeah, it would be a great addition to the Patriots. I mean, you know, he'd be number one, Mac Jones' number one guy. you know?
Yeah, my only problem with him would be that he openly stated he did not want to play for the Patriots before he signed in Buffalo. He sort of dumped all over the Patriots were going downhill thing.
Yeah. Yeah, who was the guy that went to, slot receiver, went to the Titans, too. Chose to play with them. Same thing, same way Beasley did with Buffalo instead of playing with Tom Brady because Tom Brady's too old. Yeah, there was a receiver that went to the Titans.
Got yeah, I know, like 10 I know million bucks. Who
damn
is
it.
That?
You were in
Why are we out on a name there? Why can we not remember that?
TV says Humphreys.
Humphreys. That's
Humphreys.
It. Yep. Drop TV.
Who was TV like, says.
Yeah. His name's Josh. Promo, so I'm not listening.
His name's Josh.
Stan Humphreys? Quarterback,
no.
San Diego Chargers?
It was Adam, right?
It was Adam Humphreys.
Adam yes. Humphreys, right.
Whatever happened to him?
You never heard from him again. You really didn't. Like, they got those two big guys on the outside, and that's all you heard of. And then, you know, Delaney Walker or...
He didn't play last season.
He's a commander now.
He's a commander?
He has no statistics listed for last season.
He gets to play with Wentz. That'll make him better.
He's a commander?
He is now a commander.
Oh.
Commando.
Did he play last year? Oh, yes, he did. I'm sorry. I'm on a page that was not updated. He did play. He played in 17 games and had 41 catches.
Oh.
Yep. In his 2 years, his two seasons with Tennessee, he had 37 catches and 23 catches. I don't think that really worked out for him there or for them.
No. Has N'Keal Harry had 41 catches in 4 years? I don't think so.
Tommy and Lynn on the Bruins last night. What do you have on the Bruins?
The beard. What's up? What's up, Zoe?
What are you doing calling this show?
Zoe, what's up, man?
What's going on? Doing a radio show?
What?
Doing a radio show.
What?
Nope.
Don't say what.
Why do you do that?
What?
It's already a difficult call to manage. And
he kept saying what?
And then you stoke him like that.
No, but he kept saying what?
You're just sitting there.
Didn't he say what? Like five times?
Putting fresh air into the fire
you
there.
You know what you were doing.
I know what I was doing. He's Felger, mass caller all the time. Calling our show.
Jeff is in Vegas. He claims to be in a hot tub in Vegas today. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Yes, that is correct. Happy days are here again for Milliken, thank goodness. Because as a passionate advocate for Gen Z boys, Milliken's mental health would have been further jeopardized. And we can't have that. So this is good. Danny Ainge was at T-Mobile yesterday scouting Arizona. Seeing him there brought back those 2019 comments, the ones that players in the NBA are the last people on earth he would want to get their opinions about anything meaningful in his life.
Yep.
I don't think that's a really good look, and I don't care where he is. Gen Zers, they don't forget. And as absolutely despicable as it was, having raised a millennial and three Gen Zers and gotten to know the world's leading source related to Gen Z advocacy, one thing Jeff and Nashua knows about Gen Z, again, they don't forget. And to that end,
have that vengeful attitude about them?
Well, no, it's not so much vengeful. I wouldn't say vengeful. It's just they're aware and they don't forget. So I think, like, the Patriots are also going to be up for a problem because when Belichick is watching the Super Bowl with Benedict Donald, I don't think that free agents are going to be into that.
I wonder if that's true. Is that true about your generation, Milliken?
You know what they are?
You learn things and you hold them against, but you hold grudges?
They are receipt keepers.
They don't forget.
Which is ironic because they probably don't have any paper receipts.
They don't even know what the hell a receipt is.
Right.
I thought they were laid back. It wouldn't be like that.
No.
Hold grudges.
Holier than thou, receipt keepers.
Spoiled.
Yeah, but then what do they act on it? Right?
Yeah. Like take action?
No. They just say, no, I'm not going to play for Bill. I'm not going to play for...
Remember when you said? No, I don't actually, but...
They'll play for whoever gets
that seems money. Like a Gen Z thing. Remember when you said
they kept the receipts.
He doesn't even know.
He's not even listening.
He doesn't even want to participate.
Williams and Newton on the Celtics. Hi, William.
How are you? I was wondering what you guys think about Jaylen Brown and his mindset. playing second fiddle to Jason. I'm a big Jaylen Brown stan. That's my guy. But I just don't know if he's going to be up for it to clearly play second fiddle to Jason.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you play anything else. I mean, this is, you know, Tatum's on fire right now. He talked about this yesterday. Like, he's accepted. It seems like he's good with everything, and that's a good thing.
You got a guy out there like having a, you know, borderline historic run right now. 98 points in two games. What are you going to do? Get pissy about it?
Give me my looks.
You just had one of your teammates drop 54 and 44 in back-to-back games. I don't like this. Now, if it results in him getting less opportunity, but who's stopping Jaylen Brown from going out and scoring 54 and 44? I mean, he could actually do that. It just happens to be that Jason Tatum is the one ascending right now and making a real mark for himself. I'm not saying he's, you know, reached the top of the league and he's going to stay there. He's on a really good run right now. Jaylen Brown would have to be very, very petty and very, very short-sighted to have a problem with what's happening with that team right now.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that petty or short-sighted.
But when you get into a series, too, when teams adjust and they try to shut Tatum down, that's where, you know, it could be Jaylen Brown time.
Absolutely. So, you're already starting to see it a little bit. You saw it at the end of the game the other night when they're doubling up on Tatum to keep him from getting 50 points.
Yeah, say you play Brooklyn and you got all that length, whether it's Durant or whether it's going to be Simmons guarding Tatum. Yeah, that could be his opportunity.
Speaking of the Celtics, they have advertisements on their jersey. The Red Sox will soon have those same advertisements on their jersey. And I don't like that one bit.
Like it either.
I didn't like when they put a Nike logo on the jersey. Now we're going to add a full-blown advertisement on the jerseys in Major League Baseball. This was inevitable. This is the way American sports are now heading, following their European counterparts. So the question is this. You got a preference on what logo goes on there? Does it have to be all red? What are we doing? What are we doing here for these patches they're going to be wearing? I'd like to know how that's going to look. Also, something on Hardy's Twitter coming up as well. Don't go anywhere.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on
these freaking lyrics. I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, but sometimes I listen to these songs and go, where was this going? What kind of mess of lyrics was this?
This was Tom Petty's Mary Jane's Last Dance is what this song is.
Oh, yeah.
She grew up in Indiana town. I mean, same tempo, same rhyming pattern.
It's a ripoff?
Total.
Yeah, it's close.
They even asked Petty about it. He's like, yeah, it's similar, but so what? I don't care.
I don't give a crap.
That's Tom Petty.
Dua Lipa.
Right. It's not to the level of... Dua Lipa, no.
Red Sox are going to have ads on the uniforms now. Everybody is. They're all going to do it. They can all make money.
So you don't like this. This bothers
you. Well, how big is it?
I've never been a fan of this. I know they did it in the NBA, and I will give the NBA a lot of credit. And more specifically, the Celtics a lot of credit. Because I don't know that every team does it this way.
Yeah.
But the Celtics, I know a lot of NBA teams have found sponsors that have similar color schemes. And therefore, they're... logo
blends
really well with the jersey, and the company maintains their sort of logo. The Celtics, for both GE and Vistaprint, I believe it is now, said Yeah, you could be on the jersey, but you're going to be green. We're going to take your logo or word mark, and it's going to be Celtics green. It's going to match the rest of the stuff on our jersey, which I don't know. I just don't know for sure. Twitter will know. You guys can tell us.
So what's the size, though? Like, so, what's it going to be, like a 2-inch by 4-inch?
For Major League Baseball, you mean?
Yeah.
For Red Sox.
Where are you going to put it on your chest?
They already got the Nike swish.
They got one of the best uniforms in baseball. Like, that clean white. Like, now you're going to muddy it up with, like, Chico's Bell Bonds?
Got a Yankees jersey with a Cat's Deli.
Oh, my God.
Sbarro.
Sbarro. Madison Square, MSG.
There's also going to be advertising on the helmets, apparently, the same way the helmets have advertising in the NHL. The NHL is going to be adding their jersey ads next season.
Which, by the way, doesn't bother me one bit. Doesn't bother me in the NHL to have the helmet advertisements. And I will go out on a limb and say it's not going to bother me one iota to have a logo on baseball uniforms. Yeah. Don't care. Doesn't affect me. Doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, do you really notice?
No.
You will at the plate. When you get that side angle and you look over and there's it says Red Sox and then you got that big patch right there.
Is it wrong to say, can you at least have it be the same color as the color scheme of the Red Sox?
No.
Is that wrong?
No.
Okay. Then let's stick to that then. I think that should be something that's adopted. You can have your logo on there, but if you're the Dodgers, you're turning it Dodger blue. People will know what the hell it is you're advertising.
Yeah.
If you have a good logo.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, right.
Because you're red and white.
Yeah. Coca-Cola might have a problem, though, because their competitor is blue. Pepsi is blue.
Oh, yeah.
So they probably wouldn't go for that.
Yeah. I mean, but if you put the...
But if Coca-Cola is the Red Sox sponsor, and they have been a big Red Sox corporate partner for my entire lifetime...
Yeah, you had the bottles up on the light post.
Perfect fit.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola should be the sponsor. Let's do it.
But if you want to put the golden arches on the, you know... Kansas City Royals.
That sort of works. Don't they have some gold-trimmed uniforms sometimes?
The Tigers uniforms,
okay,
right?
I don't think that's going to work.
No. They'll be Rocket Mortgage anyway. You don't have to worry about that. Everything in Michigan is Rocket Mortgage.
Wait, won't they be one of the car companies?
What about Little Caesar?
Yeah, what's Ford? Ford's blue and white.
Yeah. I don't know. Who owns the Tigers? Still the Illiches? They're Milliken?
Yeah.
Correct.
It'll be Little Caesars.
Pizza.
What color is their logo? It's like orange.
Orange.
It works. Tigers. Orange. Green. Orange. Green. Little Caesars.
Orange and red.
Right.
Yeah.
Book
pizza.
It.
Pizza.
That's pretty good. That's my request. I don't like it though. Not a fan. You can put advertisements everywhere. You can superimpose them on the screen. You could put them on the dirt.
They superimpose them on the mound.
Haven't you seen them in many broadcasts? They superimpose them on the back of the mound. Yeah. I don't know. There's just something weird about, can you at least leave the jerseys themselves alone?
What about the green monster? It doesn't have any space on it left.
Does
that bother you?
The green monster?
Yeah.
No, but that bothered a lot of people when they started putting ads back on the monster. If you look to the original monster, it was nothing but advertisements. There was not a single square inch of space on the board that was not advertising.
That's really where you put it. That wouldn't bug me at all. But on the uniform, on the plain white uniform, same thing with the Yankees. Imagine the Yankees with the pinstripes, white uniform, pinstripes, and you got this big logo.
Yep, don't care. You're such a baseball purist.
But you know me.
Up a white uniform. What do you care?
You know me. I am a uniform snob. And those are two of the best uniforms in baseball. Red Sox and the Yankees are two best uniforms in baseball.
Yeah. And this is just sort of something unrelated. We mentioned Coca-Cola and the Coke bottles.
Mm. Yeah.
I think for fun, we should play the news report from WBZ TV Channel 4 when the Coke bottles went up at Fenway prior to opening day. And I think you're going to have a good laugh hearing the outrage that existed and the drama that existed.
Oh.
When the Coke bottles went up on the board.
What year?
In the late 90s. And how, you know, it all just sort of went. And by the time that they took them down, people were like, what are you doing? Why are you taking the Coke bottles down?
Where are they right now?
They're gone. Coke bottles are a thing of the past. I say put them back up. The drama surrounding their arrival at Fenway. We'll do it after these headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.